Welcome in, everybody. You are indeed listening to the JR Sport Brief. My name is David Shepherd. Great to be filling in for JR. Great to be alongside Ryan Botcher. Great to be alongside you, however and wherever you may be listening from. You could be in your car. You could be in your truck. You could be checking us out for free on the Odyssey app. You could be getting us on Sirius XM Channel 375. However you choose to consume us on the Infinity Sports Network, it is always a pleasure to be alongside you. If you're on the East Coast or in the Midwest, hope you're having a wonderful Tuesday evening so far. If you are in mountain time, if you are on the West Coast, hope you're having a good rest of your late afternoon. My name is again David Shepherd. You can always follow me and tweet me at Shep on Air. You can always hit us up at 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476 to have your opinions, your insights, your perspectives be heard. We spent the first hour talking in great detail about which first-year NFL head coaches are going to have the biggest impact in 2025. We certainly spoke about the ascending, the invincible Milwaukee Brewers. There's other news when it comes to sports in the state of Wisconsin, and that, of course, is Jordan Love. Jordan Love underwent surgery today to repair a ligament injury in his left thumb. The Packers are advising all of us not to panic. They are certainly expecting him to be back as the starting quarterback for their season opener against the Detroit Lions. So that's the good news. Love, to his credit, tried to gut it out on Monday, but during the practice, he was playing through injury, but ultimately decided the procedure at this particular time would be best. Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst, an individual that noted that Love's return to practice can come as early as next week, adding that a procedure at this time, quote, is the best option to get him back and get him back fast and feeling his best. Love suffered that injury during Saturday's preseason opener against the New York Jets. It happened on the last play for Love when he was sacked, and it was not an impressive opener in any way, shape, or form. He was just 1 of 5 from the field with just 7 passing yards. So certainly not a preseason game one that he would like to remember. The Packers are going to have a joint practice with the Indianapolis Colts on Thursday before their second preseason game on Saturday. The plan going into this preseason anyway was for the starters to have rest. So that's worth noting who's going to be the backup now, who's going to be QB1. It's going to be Malik Willis. And we saw last year when Jordan Love went out, he took the first team's reps. So he's a pretty reliable backup, could be a lot worse in the backup department. You know, in Love's 3 seasons as a starter, you know, he has played at least some preseason games every single year. So, you know, he was able to get a little bit of action in during preseason game one. He did suffer an injury early in 2024, as we all remember, and he was still able to go 9-6. So this is something that is not going to be so significant in terms of the big scheme of things for the Packers in 2025. This is more, I believe, cautionary, and it's ultimately something that is going to have Jordan Love as ready as possible for year number 3. And I know a lot of Packers fans anticipate Jordan Love taking that next step in his career, which is getting the Packers to an NFC title game. Obviously, we all remember that incredible performance he had as a first-year starter against the Dallas Cowboys, becoming the first 7 seed in the history of the NFL playoffs to win against a 2 seed. He was very close to beating the 49ers in that divisional round game. Unfortunately, an interception did him and the rest of the Packers in. Took a next step in the regular season, not so much in the postseason. So there's heavy expectations for year 3 for Jordan Love, and the Packers are doing right by him in making sure that he is healthy coming into week 1. Their coach, Matt LaFleur, he spoke about Jordan Love's injury on Tuesday, and here is what Mr. LaFleur had to say.
Only if it limits you and your ability to go out there and perform the task at hand, and from what I've no pun intended there. From what I've been understanding, it's a pretty relatively quick recovery. So hopefully we'll be able to get him back out in some capacity sometime next week to work on and work through. Because I've never personally dealt with a situation like this. So there's going to be some learning curve along the way in terms of how do we adapt and how do we adjust.
Yeah, well, you know, doing some comedy hour in there and also, you know, talking honestly and candidly. So good for him. You know, Jordan Love, I would consider still to be a young quarterback in the NFL. And if you are the Packers, for the last 30 plus years, you have had a legit franchise quarterback as your starting quarterback. You have never looked at your situation and said, we absolutely, unequivocally need a new quarterback in the fold. For the most part, whether it's Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love, you have always been confident in who is going out there and leading the charge. And that's a rarity. I mean, you see in Pittsburgh right now, this transition post Ben Roethlisberger, whether it's Kenny Pickett, whether it's Mason Rudolph, whether it's a combination of Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, and then a soon-to-be 42-year-old Aaron Rodgers, who at best plays another year after this, even though he's made it clear this is likely his swan song. So that's five different starting quarterbacks that the Pittsburgh Steelers have ultimately envisioned as an option to replace Ben Roethlisberger. And you know, in a year or two, they're going to be on their six different starting quarterbacks since Big Ben. It is not easy to transition. I know Tua Tagovailoa is an incredibly talented quarterback, but who are we kidding? They have not had a reliable starting quarterback since the 90s with Dan Marino in Miami. That's how difficult it is. So the fact that the Packers have for the last 30 plus years been able to go back to back to back in terms of successful franchise quarterbacks, you got to feel really good about where you're at with Jordan Love. Is he Patrick Mahomes yet? Of course not. Is he an elite quarterback yet? Not yet. But the fact that you know you have a chance to go somewhere with him has got to feel pretty good. And you know you have a chance to go places with other young quarterbacks in the NFL. You talk about an individual like CJ Stroud, you know, someone that we don't necessarily talk a whole lot about because he plays in Houston. It's not LA. It's not Chicago. It's not New York. The Texans don't really have a great history to speak upon. But CJ Stroud, he's unbelievable what he's done so far in his first 2 years as an NFL starting quarterback. And we all remember him having one of the great rookie seasons in NFL history. You know, passing for 470 yards in one game, that broke the rookie single season, you know, passing mark for any quarterback. You talk about what he was able to do in that one game where he did throw for 470 yards. He also had five touchdowns and zero interceptions. That's only been done two other times in NFL history by a player in any year. And that same season, remember, he got off to the hottest start in NFL history where he had 191 pass attempts without a single interception. That is an NFL record to begin a career. And as a result, he has gone 22-16 over his first two seasons in the NFL. And for the first time in franchise history, CJ Stroud had the Texans win playoff games in back-to-back seasons. So that's the good news from the 2023 NFL draft. And the commonality that he has with Jordan Love is you look at CJ Stroud and you say, you know what? The Texans are not going to be limited by their quarterback. They're going to be able to go far because of who they have at QB1 taking the majority of the snaps. And this is why you got to feel bad for the other two teams that drafted a quarterback very high in 2023. To me, I'm still not decided on Bryce Young. I still have no idea if he can be a legitimate franchise quarterback in the NFL. And we're obviously in year three, and this is a number one overall pick. Here's what I do know. Bryce Young is 6-22 in his first two seasons with just 26 passing touchdowns overall. CJ Stroud had 27 passing touchdowns in his first season alone. And you can talk all you want about the lack of support that Bryce Young has had from Carolina in terms of the talent around him, but there is no way, and you know what, that CJ Stroud would have six wins in two seasons if he was with the Panthers. He's got immensely better footwork and the ability to withstand pressure. That in and of itself would give him a few more than just 6 wins. But at least when it comes to Bryce Young, you can understand why Carolina elected to go with him. A Heisman Trophy winner, a national champion, a 23-4 record with the Crimson Tide in his college days. For the life of me, I cannot explain, justify, rationalize, comprehend why the Colts would spend a number 4 overall pick on Anthony Richardson with no accolades at Florida and just a quote-unquote proverbial upside, which featured 13 starts in college where he had a losing record. And that has not translated as we would all anticipate at the beginning of the 2023 NFL season, where in 2 years, the guy has gone for just 8 wins and just 11 passing touchdowns. And things are not looking any more promising in year number 3. We saw him start for the Colts in their preseason opener against the Baltimore Ravens. And what happens in 2 series? He's ruled out for the rest of the game because of a finger injury. And that came on a sack in which he wasn't able to anticipate. And to make matters worse, he landed awkwardly on his left shoulder. This is not an ideal start for season 3, when there's enough whispers and enough murmurs that this is a franchise that doesn't want you to begin with. And I know Daniel Jones is their backup, and he's nothing to write home about either. New York Giants fans can certainly attest to that. A 1 playoff win somehow gets this guy a $160 million contract, but he was a complete joke after the fact. Daniel Jones gives the Colts a better chance to win right now than Anthony Richardson. That's how sad that quarterback position is right now in Indianapolis, and it also shows you how unreliable Anthony Richardson has been over these last couple of years. And, you know, after the injury, the former number 4 overall pick, he spoke about what that injury consisted of. Take a listen.
Yeah, no, it was weird. He hit me, and then I was trying to make sure I had the ball, and I just looked down, and I see my finger different direction. I'm like, maybe I'm tripping. And I looked at it again, and it was definitely like that. So it's like I got to get this thing popped back in place, but I'm good, though.
So Shane Steichen, the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, he addressed this on Up and Adams about the Richardson hit that he took. And was it his fault or not? Well, Shane Steichen is always going to say the right thing.
Yeah, it was a 5-man protection, obviously, in that situation. And we just got to understand where our issues are in that situation. If we're sliding left, you know, there's going to be one off the right side. If we're sliding right, there's going to be one off the left side that we got to manage and just understand that situation.
So, you know, it's all about perspective, right? Jordan Love, I know some people were disappointed by year 2 in the postseason, but you have a reliable franchise quarterback. I know people are awfully disappointed with Justin Herbert. He's going on year 6. He's got 0 playoff wins to show for it. He was so bad in the postseason against the Texans in 2024 that Justin Herbert had more interceptions in that 1 postseason game than he had for the entire 2024 regular season. You talk about Trevor Lawrence, an individual that did show promise down the stretch in season number 2, did finish that season going 5-1, was able to win in the playoffs, was able to have 3 second-half touchdown passes, was able to have the 3rd greatest comeback in postseason history. It has not been something special in year 3 and year 4 where he has struggled mightily, whether it be injury or whether it be with his accuracy. But what we do know from Trevor Lawrence and what we do know from Justin Herbert is they have proven that they can be the difference maker in getting a team to the playoffs. And in Lawrence's case, has proven to be a difference maker in the playoffs, even though some would say that was by default because he played Justin Herbert. There's a lot of situations where you have quarterbacks like a Dak Prescott. They've been disappointing. 2-5 postseason record. Never been to an NFC title game. But you do know you're not out of it with those quarterbacks. You do know they're never going to be a detractor. They're never going to be a liability in terms of your ability to make a playoff run. When it comes to guys like Bryce Young, when it comes to individuals like Anthony Richardson, I don't even know if they're franchise quarterbacks. I don't even know if you can win with them, if you can even make noise in terms of making, you know, the playoffs. Those are the biggest 2 quarterbacks that I have questions about coming in to year number 3 for both of them. And to add insult to injury, the guy in their draft class in C.J. Stroud, he showed in year 1, he can be a legitimate franchise-altering quarterback. So I think that's the disappointing thing. If you are the Colts, if you are the Panthers, Botcher, when you think of young quarterbacks in the NFL, I believe Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson have the most to prove coming into the 2025 NFL season. I know that Trevor Lawrence has been disappointing. I know that Justin Herbert has been disappointing in terms of the lack of playoff success. But I know when healthy, they're legitimate franchise quarterbacks. It doesn't mean they're elite, but they're franchise quarterbacks. You're not ready to move on from them right away. Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson, if things do not go according to plan, I truly believe that those two quarterbacks in particular have the most to prove in terms of showing the rest of the NFL they're legitimate starting quarterbacks. Is there someone else that you have in mind that's a young quarterback that should already be proven but isn't yet?
Is it wrong to say that I still think CJ Stroud needs to prove something?
Well,
after like his rookie season was amazing.
Right.
Arguably before Jaden Daniels, the best rookie season ever by a quarterback.
Yes.
And then he came back down to such a screeching halt last year.
But he still had a winning record, though.
I know, but like compared to what he did his first year, it wasn't anything special.
Well, he did win a playoff game again.
A playoff game. But at the same time, I can't. I have to see him get back to that same level. I don't know if it was his receivers all getting hurt at the same time.
Right.
The offensive line just being non-existent. But now you trade away Tunsil. Your O-line doesn't look much better. I don't know how he's going to look. So I'm just interested in how that'll play out.
Well, let's put it this way. Are the Texans brass in close corners right now and behind closed doors discussing a change at the quarterback position?
No, because they saw what happened.
Yes, that's where I'm coming from. You can have higher expectations for CJ Stroud with a noticeable drop off in year number two. I'm with you because I believe that without question, CJ Stroud was a top 10 quarterback in 2023, without question. And I don't think you can make a significant case that he is a top 10 quarterback coming into the season based off a little bit of regression and obviously the ascension of someone like a Jaden Daniels, right? Now, I'll also say, I don't think Jordan Love was as great in year number two compared to year number one as a full-time starter. But I still don't see, whether it's Brian Gutekunst, whether it's someone like a Matt LaFleur, I don't think they're having conversations for 1 second about Malik Willis supplanting him as the starter for that franchise. You get my point? So like, while there are so many quarterbacks that have more to prove, like I think Brock Purdy, I think he's got something to prove. I think I'd like to see him take that next step. Even though he took a little bit less money, he's getting paid like one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. I think Jared Goff's got something to prove. I think he let some people down in that NFC divisional round matchup against the Washington Commanders, right? So they're outside of someone like Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts, every quarterback has something to prove, right? Like, can Joe Burrow win the big game? Can Lamar finally get to a Super Bowl? Can Josh Allen finally get to a Super Bowl? Can Trevor Lawrence take that next step? Can Justin Herbert actually win a playoff game? Can Dak Prescott make some noise in the playoffs finally and win more than just one round, right? So outside of Mahomes, whose legacy is set, outside of Jalen Hurts, who's obviously coming off of being the reigning Super Bowl MVP, I think every quarterback in some way, shape, or form has something to prove. But is there a young quarterback that you believe has the most to prove in terms of convincing the NFL general public that they are a starting quarterback?
I don't know if this guy's young. Kyler Murray is one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And Drake May, I think.
Really? See, I thought Drake May was excellent as a rookie.
I didn't see it like that. I thought he was average to a little bit above average. I didn't see anything special. Like, he popped with a couple. He has a strong arm, and he's mobile. I just can't.
Well, he's got a strong arm and he's mobile.
But that's
he was the highlight of 2024. I know that's not saying much considering they were a 4-1 season and fired their coach after just 1 year. I get that. But Drake May, the accuracy, a better completion percentage than Tom Brady had in his respective first year as a starter, the fact that he was able to scramble for 421 yards, like, to me, Drake May is somebody who I truly believe is going to make that next step and take that ascension. And I think he got completely screwed over playing for Gerard Mayo, who's not a quarterback's coach, who's not an offensive guy. You know, wrong system, I believe, for Drake May. You don't think he was the third best rookie last year in a very talented rookie class?
Yeah, he was. It's just, to be the best of a rookie class, you don't know what you're going to get in year two. And unless it's like a Jaden Daniels-esque season,
well, that's what's in, you know,
you can't say.
That's going to be an interesting case study because I'm with you on this. I mean, you can talk about guys like Cam, an individual like Cam Newton. Like, even though from a wins perspective, he didn't have a great 2011 rookie season. Individually speaking, he had one of the all-time great rookie seasons. You look at a guy like Andrew Luck, who brought a team from 3 wins to 11 wins in season number one. You talk about RG3, the kind of rookie season he had. Russell Wilson resurrecting the Seahawks in 2012. I thought Ben Roethlisberger, I know he wasn't great and he was more of a game manager, but the fact that he brought the Steelers to an AFC title game as a rookie, I think that was a very impressive rookie year. So there's a lot of quarterbacks you can look at. Botcher, I think it's very fair to say there has not been a more significant rookie season for any quarterback than what Jaden Daniels was able to put out there in 2024. Am I lying?
No. And it's the only thing you could argue with that is Stroud, and Stroud also won a playoff game his rookie year.
Daniels was better.
It was just stats were better.
Yeah.
And just overall, I don't want to say like the roster construction was better around Stroud than Daniels, but I felt like Daniels did more with less.
Now, I will say in fairness, at the time, CJ Stroud did it with a rookie head coach, while Dan Quinn wasn't exactly making best friends when he left Dallas and the kind of job that he did as their D coordinator, giving up an all-time, you know, yards mark to the Packers. We did see this guy make a Super Bowl and get up 28-3 against the Tom Brady-led Patriots team in a Super Bowl. So, you know, Jaden Daniels, some people will say, well, we got to be fair. You know, CJ Stroud was doing this with a rookie head coach. And then you talk about Jaden Daniels doing this with a guy who made a Super Bowl as a head coach. So, but I am with you. There's not been a greater regular season as a rookie quarterback than what Jaden Daniels was able to produce in 2024. But I believe the two quarterbacks that have the most to prove in terms of being a legitimate starting quarterback and being perceived as that is Bryce Young, is Anthony Richardson. And I think that Ryan Botcher makes a great point. Kyler Murray, he's going into year 7, 0 playoff wins, losing record so far. That's a number one overall pick. He's had more than half a decade at this point. You can make a legitimate argument that Kyler Murray is not a true franchise starting quarterback. Number to get aboard is 888-710-4ISN. That is 888-710-4476. What young quarterback do you believe has the most to prove in terms of convincing the NFL and the general public that he is indeed a true starter in this league? The two that I look at with the most to improve and the highest expectations, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, especially when their fellow classmate, CJ Stroud, has more wins than both of them combined. We'll get to your calls on the other side when we get back. So far in the NFL preseason, there is not a single team that has gotten off to a worse start than the Los Angeles Chargers. Well, how is that possible? They were able to whoop up on the Lions 34-7 last week. Well, it has to do with what they suffered in terms of a franchise-altering player. We'll give you the details on that. We'll get to your calls as well. 888-710-4ISN. That is 888-710-4476. And we are coming right back on the JR Sport Brief.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief. Here's David Shepherd.
Welcome back, everybody. This indeed is David Shepherd on the Infinity Sports Network. And for the great JR Sport Brief, the number to get aboard is 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Who has had the worst NFL preseason so far? It's the Chargers. That's obvious. But it has nothing to do with what has actually transpired on the field. We'll give you the details on that. On the other side, we do have some people that have been waiting very patiently that want to discuss NFL head coaches, want to look at young quarterbacks with the most to prove. Let's get to those calls right now. Let's get to Alex in Texas. Alex, good to speak to you again, my friend. How you doing tonight, and what do you have for us?
I'm doing great, Shep, and I have some praise for the New York Jets. I think the Jets... Mets are on the Brewers' side of the 50 and driving. Don't laugh when I say that. I think it's high praise, and I actually believe it.
Well, I don't think you're going to say anything that you don't believe, Alex. So I'm with you. And coming from Texas, you know, you're not speaking highly about the Texans. You're not speaking highly about the Cowboys. That's high praise coming from the Lone Star State, you know, all the way south, talking about a New York sports squad, even though technically they play in New Jersey. And I'm with you, man. I'm very high on Justin Fields. I'm very high on Aaron Glenn. There's accountability in this organization. There's measures in terms of the intensity of practices, and it's something that we haven't seen in quite some time, really haven't seen since the days of Rex Ryan, which is the only time in the last 15, 16 years they've had a semblance of success.
Well, one thing I'll tell you, Shep, is I'm not a Cowboy fan, and by that you can tell, because I have a pretty good imitation of Jerry Jones. So
as I'm listening to this, I'm like, man, did that accent just get a little more southern when you started speaking? So that would make sense. I hope you can impersonate Jerry Jones. I hope you don't think like Jerry Jones, because then you're in trouble.
I don't.
That's a good thing. Well, Alex, it's good to hear from you in Texas, man. You have a good rest of your Tuesday evening, okay?
And I'll talk to you this weekend.
Sounds good, buddy. Good to talk to you in Texas. Number to get aboard, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We go from Texas to Baltimore. Good to check in with Rashawn. Rashawn, what young quarterback do you believe has the most to prove in the NFL coming into the 2025 season?
Well, I actually have two of them. The first one, Lamar Jackson, even though he already proved he can win multiple MVPs, he should have won the third this past season, but they jerked him in favor of Josh Allen. But Lamar definitely has to prove that he can make it to the at least the Super Bowl. You know, not saying he has to win it, which we would love in Baltimore for him to win it, but
course.
He definitely got to make it past, you know, past the Bills or the Chiefs, which they can't seem to get past.
Yeah, I'm with you. And by the way, should have been a third MVP. That was a complete heist that Josh Allen won that MVP. And I love Josh Allen. Come on, 41 passing touchdowns, you know, freaking 4 interceptions, has another near 1,000-yard season rushing, you know, leads the Ravens to an AFC North title. That was a joke that he didn't win that third MVP, but yet he's somehow first team All-Pro as a quarterback. Makes no sense to me.
No sense at all.
Rashawn, I'm with you on Lamar Jackson still has those sector of doubters that he has to prove wrong. I'm with you on someone that great, which he is, not making a Super Bowl appearance yet. But in terms of starting quarterbacks, as long as he can stay healthy, you know he's there for another decade. I'm talking about the guys coming into the season that you don't even know if they have a future at the quarterback position. Like Anthony Richardson, he may not be in the NFL in 3-4 years from now. Bryce Young, believe it or not, 6-22 so far as a number one overall pick, he may not be in the NFL in 4 or 5 years from now. You know, I mean, listen, Jamarcus Russell, he didn't even play a decade. That was a number one overall pick as a quarterback. You know, look at a guy like Johnny Manziel. He only lasted 2 years. Now different circumstances, of course, but you get what I'm saying when it comes to those two guys, Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson, and Ryan Botcher mentioned Kyler Murray, and I think he happens to be right on Kyler Murray. I don't even know if any of those three guys are legit starting quarterbacks.
Now, I have to disagree with you on Bryce Young. I think the guy's a stud. And
really?
Also, my second part is going to be, yeah, you, I think as a,
tell,
as,
Rashawn,
as
a tell, cow, t- cow. Tell me why a guy who has 6 wins in 2 years, who was benched in the middle of year two, you tell me why that guy is a potential star. I don't see it.
He's in Carolina, though. You put him in the right system with the right players. Just imagine if you swap him in Cincinnati with the weapons that Joe Burrow has, man. Like, and then he showed, like, after he got benched, he came back even stronger, though. Like, I'm also a Cowboys fan, so I say this. I will swap Bryce Young and Dak Prescott right now in a heartbeat.
No, you wouldn't.
You know, like,
no, you the guy that has the most passing. Well, I think it's still Tony Romo, but the guy that has the second most passing yards and the second most passing touchdowns in franchise history. The guy that basically said goodbye to Tom Brady because he beat him on the road, where he played perfect in that postseason game. A guy that should have beaten Aaron Rodgers in his rookie year in the postseason when he completely outplayed Tony Romo and sent him into early retirement. You right now would go with an unproven Bryce Young over someone that at least has finished runner-up in MVP in the NFL?
Yes, the guy that makes $60 million a year with only two playoff wins.
Yeah.
The guy that, you know, he
Rashawn, Bryce Young has he's got six wins in 2 years.
But look at the talent around him. Does he have a slam? No, like, who is he throwing to? Can you name me a receiver in Carolina?
What I can say is this. I am with you that when it comes to Bryce Young, the reality is that there's not a lot that he has to work with in Carolina. I'm 100% with you. Mm-hmm. But I have seen guys like CJ Stroud come along, and I know Nico Collins is really good, but I have seen CJ Stroud come along and be excellent, right? I have seen individuals like Jaden Daniels come along and be excellent. I get, and you're right. You're right. Bryce Young did improve after year number two when he was benched. But to me, he's looked a step slow. The footwork does not look great. If I'm talking about size, he doesn't have great size for an NFL quarterback. And when it comes to the Carolina Panthers, I'm with you in terms of the guys around him. But like when I look at receivers, right? When you talk about receivers, I'm not going to pretend to know much about Jalen Coker, right? I'm not going to pretend to know much about David Moore. I'm with you 1,000% on that. But Adam Thielen can play. Adam Thielen can play
yeah,
now.
That's true.
Okay? And to your point, I'm not writing home about any running backs they have. I don't think Hubbard's an answer. So I will be fair to you and say he doesn't have a whole lot to work with. But with that being said, I've never once looked at Bryce Young and said he elevates them. Like, you talk about that game against Dallas. Like, without Dak Prescott, come on now. You're telling me Bryce Young looked like a solution against the Cowboys when he got more than doubled up?
Yeah, and I mean, that was a game. I think that was Cooper Rush was playing that game, right?
that's my point. Is the second reincarnation of the Red Rocket somehow look better than Bryce Young after the benching? Right now, I will say this. I thought he looked good against the Chiefs. I'm with you on that. I thought he was able to look somewhat good against the Eagles. And so, to your point, context matters. He played some good football against some of the best teams in the NFL. But overall, outside of that Falcons game, where the Falcons essentially had nothing to play for, I never looked at Bryce Young and said that guy is a franchise quarterback in the near future. You get what I'm saying? I hear what you're saying. There's not a lot he has had to work with, but I still think off footwork and anticipation and athleticism and arm strength alone, C.J. Stroud would have had at least 12 wins in 2 years in Carolina.
Do you think so?
Yes.
But
yes.
C.J. Stroud had, who's the other two, the weapons he had around him, though? He had Nico Collins, who was another guy, right?
Yeah, well, Nico Collins, I thought, was very good for the Houston Texans. I mean, I think that really is their guy. When you talk about the Houston Texans in terms of weapons around him, you know, obviously Joe Mixon, I think, is a receiving threat. He's the running back. But the other guy that you got to mention is Tank Dell.
Tank Dell, that's the guy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and then, by the way, one of the more underrated tight ends, Dalton Schultz, too.
Former Cowboy, by the way.
not to be confused with Andrew Schultz, very famous comedian. Mm-hmm. He actually does some good jokes. You bring up some good points. I love the opposition, Rashawn, and I love that you play devil's advocate, and it's a healthy conversation, to say the least. Good to hear from you as always, man.
All right, man. I'll be calling you back soon, man.
Sounds good. Appreciate the conversation, Rashawn. And you can always obviously catch me weekend, Saturday, Sunday morning, 2 a.m., 6 a.m. Eastern time, but it's always great to be filling in for the JR Sport Brief. We just had a caller say that they would take Bryce Young over Dak Prescott right now. Marco, thoughts?
I need to see more.
Come on now. I mean, the hate for Dak Prescott has gone too far.
Yeah, look, I get it, and a lot of it's, you know, built on himself, where, you know, you don't come to expectations when you're in the playoffs and you had a billion opportunities and you haven't played well, and then you're the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Those are all things that wind up coming with it, and you're on the Cowboys.
That's fair.
That comes with it, and that's part of the territory, so that you're going to have to deal with it. The Bryce Young stuff, I need to see more. We saw absolutely nothing in year one. I need to see more of what we saw glimpses of last year. I'm unconvinced he can get there, but I'm willing to watch.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. And to your point, Marco, the last thing I'll say about this, because I know we got to get to a sports flash, I think it hurts Dak who he's playing for. I think if it were a different franchise with more stability at the head coaching position, even though Mike McCarthy did do a rather good job there considering who he was coaching for, I think if this was a different franchise and there was more stability at the top and more coherency, I believe he would have had a better career. I think he got undone playing for Dallas.
A little bit from, again, the spotlight and more Jerry Jones than I think for McCarthy. McCarthy, I think, settled things down, and they did win 12 games, I think, 3 years in a row.
That's right.
He's had a good career. He's a good quarterback.
Runner-up MVP
one year.
He's
just not upper echelon top five, and he's paid like that.
Right.
And he's on the Cowboys, so he's expected to perform like that. That's where the expectations don't meet the reality, but that's life.
Yeah.
I mean, when you wind up having the star on your helmet, you're either elevated to more than what you truly are if you win, or you're looked at as you're not good enough.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Cowboy quarterbacks that we've been through this over the years a million different times. Guys that were good, but everybody thought was garbage. Danny White. Good quarterback. Just wasn't great.
Right. Quincy Carter.
I mean, well, please. So these are guys that it winds up being the case with it. So, you know, that comes with it. But when you make $60 million a year, there you go.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
I hear you. Number to get aboard, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We're coming back with your calls. We also are going to talk about the worst preseason so far. It has nothing to do with any on-the-field performance. We'll get to that next. Before we get to that, let's get to our latest sports flash with someone worth more than $60 million. Here is Marco Belletti.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief. Here's David Shepherd.
Welcome back, everyone. This is indeed David Shepherd on the Infinity Sports Network, in for the great JR Sport Brief. Hey, Ryan Botcher. We're going to talk Chargers momentarily. You got time for a quick trivia question?
Depends what it is.
You're a big baseball guy, right?
Not the biggest.
Oh, okay. Then I'm not going to do that to you then.
Well, what's the question now? You can't just tease that and not give me the question.
So we got, for the first time in MLB history, we're likely going to have five guys hit more than 50 home runs this season. That's never been done before in MLB history. Obviously, we know Aaron Judge went for 38 on Tuesday. Could be 39, 40, who knows? Do you know, from 1966 it's crazy, by the way. From 1966, or excuse me, no. Yeah, if 1966 to 1989, it's 24 seasons, there was just one guy who had more than 50 home runs in a season. Just once.
So 1962, you said?
From 66 to 1989.
Okay.
There was just one occurrence where a player had 50 home runs in a regular season. And it was 52, by the way. Do you know who that player is?
Oh, my gosh.
I did not.
Is it not the catcher?
It's not the catcher.
The one that just Aaron Judge passed. Is it not him?
No.
No? Okay. Other than that, it would be Dave Kingman.
That's not a bad guess, but no. He played left field. If you get this, I will be blown away.
Left field?
Yeah. Because remember, there was no one in the 1980s that ever had a 50 home run season.
Okay. So I know it's not the 80s now.
Right.
That helps.
I gave you a big hint.
Okay. 70s. I don't think the 90s, because the 90s were iffy. I'm drawing a blank here.
If you get this, again, I'll be
Reggie Jackson.
So that's not a bad guess. That's not a bad guess at all. Some people might say someone like Mike Schmidt, right? Like, you know, but I'll give you a hint. Big Red Machine.
Oh, the Red. Oh.
The only player, again, from 1966 to 1989 to have a 50 home run season. Before that, last guy to do it was Willie Mays in 1965, which was in the second half of his career, which makes that even more impressive.
Does he have sideburns? I feel like I know who it is.
No.
But okay.
No. All right, I want you to think about this. See if you can get it. Don't cheat now.
I'm not going to cheat now.
Good.
draw some time.
There you go.
It's going to be brewing.
There you go. If y'all can get this, folks, I'll be very curious. And don't cheat. Don't Google this. Don't Wikipedia this. What player who is the only MLB player from 1966 to 1989 had a 50 home run season? The reason I bring that up is because Aaron Judge hit home run number 38 tonight, and he is going to be one of five guys in all likelihood to total 50 home runs. I do want to say this. The roughest preseason so far has been the Los Angeles Chargers, man. I'm still really disappointed. Feel like I got a gut punch because I'm rooting for Harbaugh. I'm rooting for Justin Herbert. They're both good guys. You want to see them have success. And Rashawn Slater, man, suffering that season-ending ruptured patellar tendon based off of what happened last week. It's just devastating. And, you know, they have a built-in excuse now in terms of why they may not win a playoff game. And this is the highest offensive, you know, paid lineman in the NFL. So this is going to certainly damper expectations. You still have Joe Alt. You know, you still have Mekhi Becton, but not pretty if you are the Chargers. And that's why, man, this is so imperative when it comes to the preseason that you just got to get out alive. You just got to get into the regular season healthy. The fact that the Chargers are so heavily predicated on a dominant rushing attack that comes with any offense that Greg Roman runs, it's just an incredible disappointment. So again, if your team has a rough preseason, just know the Chargers never even had an opportunity to have their best players on the field in the preseason at all because their best offensive lineman, Rashawn Slater, suffers a season-ending injury. And that, of course, came 2 weeks after signing the richest contract in NFL history as an offensive lineman. It could be worse. Just remember that about your team, unless you're the Chargers. Number to get aboard, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We will get to your calls on the other side. We will talk college football on the other side in terms of starting quarterbacks being named for some big-time programs. And do you know who the only player was in Major League Baseball from 1966 to 1989 to have a 50 home run season? We get to your calls next. We talk college football. Good Shepherd in for JR coming right back.